to follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM, channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Mike Palm on the program coming up in 15 minutes, VP of this great property. A lot to get into with him. He was at All-Star Weekend this past weekend for the WNBA.
Oh, he was.
And it returned last night. Some super high-scoring games last night. And I've added two tickets on the same team to win the title.
Oh.
I'll run that by him coming up in about 15.
Was he interviewing to be the commissioner of the league? Because they should probably get someone in there who actually likes the sport.
No, Mike loves her.
Well, you know why he loves her? Because it gives him at least one of his pieces of content on the show every week.
Yeah, no question. So tons of NFL new. Every team now in camp, by the way, in the National Football League.
It's amazing. And everyone has a take based on every highlight or low light you see on social media.
Well, so by the way, if you missed the first hour of the show, we started it by talking about the Falcons and the news today on Tua Tagovailoa. He had a flare up. He's not practicing right now. And we said this before this news came out. I don't want to completely go overboard and say, oh my God, the Falcons are going to stink. But I'm not. I want to be on the Falcons. I just can't be because of the quarterback room. And I'm not going to overreact because remember what happened this time last year with Matthew Stafford. And I was freaking out because I had futures every which way but loose on the Rams to win the Super Bowl. And I thought, oh, what the hell am I going to do now? And that guy, he only goes on to win the MVP.
I'm going to throw this one at you. Thinking of quarterbacks that might be a good fit, and I believe he might have played for him as well. What if Jameis Winston became available via trade? If Jameis Winston was the quarterback of the Falcons, could they win that division?
Well, you're talking to a Jameis Winston apologist.
Yeah, you're a truther.
I kind of am. Yeah, I get it. You're going to get a lot of bad. You're going to get, do I say a lot of good? Dare I say a lot of good or some good?
Well, you get a wide range of emotions.
Oh, the widest, you get the widest range of a quarterback I've ever seen. No, I'm not joking.
The highs are high, but the lows are certainly at a different level than most other people. I just wonder if they're not picking up the phone because Stefanski, at this point, he's like, I'm not doing this to just go through the motions and coach a team. I want to win.
I want to win.
And, I mean, Jameis Winston just sitting there backing up Jackson Dart. Is he even the second stringer this year? He was in Cleveland 2 years ago. 2 years ago. I don't think it's crazy to think about that. I'm throwing it out there. I haven't seen anyone report it.
So the news came down. It broke on the air 2 days ago when you and I were hosting here on this show, on this network, and that was Vita Vea requested a trade from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then live on the air, we're kind of like, okay, let me look at some of the numbers here. And I went to like Pro Football Focus, right? They graded every single player. And specifically his numbers against the run last year, they were not like elite. That was only 1 year. He's in his 30s. He's been playing for nearly a decade in the league. But the more you look at it, it's like, yeah, that guy can still have a pretty major impact. I think if he's going to, here's the deal. If you look at last year, specifically interior lineman, Dexter Lawrence was double teamed 246 times. Vita Vea was double teamed 241 times overall. Those were the two leaders in the entire league. He had 14 quarterback pressures after being double teamed, sixth most in the NFL, and 40 total pressures, tied for ninth among all defensive tackles, courtesy of Next Gen Stats. So last year overall, his PFF grade was 72.8, 20th overall with interior defensive linemen. That grade for specifically against the run was at 62.5. But you go back in previous years, he graded out really well in 2024. He was an 80 grade in 2023. If you go back to 2020, he was basically one of the best players in football. His grade was teetering on 90 overall. So I think at that position, he can still, if he goes to the right team, have a pretty significant impact on where he's going to land.
Yeah, and I think with defensive tackles too, there's so many elements of the game where we don't realize what they're doing in certain spots, like whether they're picking up double teams or they're opening up lanes for a linebacker to run through. This was a team, Tampa Bay last year, had two linebackers with over 100 tackles in Levante David and Dennis there. They also had a safety in Tyke Smith, had over 100 tackles. Antoine Winfield Jr. had 93. So what I'm saying is Vita Vea, he has a trickle-down effect on everyone on the back end and the middle with the linebackers and the safeties in creating opportunities for them to slow down the play because he commands so much attention. 31 years old, you're not getting the guy at the peak of his powers, but he's not that far off, and you might be able to get him for a discount right now. Looking over in the prediction markets, Your favorite to acquire his services, well, to stay in Tampa Bay's minus 126, I guess the market believes, that he's just using this as a ploy to get another contract. Then you have the Raiders at plus 113. After that, the Chargers plus 181. The Niners are plus 173. There are a lot of short shots on this board. The team that jumps out to me immediately, though, and I can't get out of my head, is the Buffalo Bills at just under 3-1. They're plus 295. How would Buffalo not be in the mix for Vita Vea? They desperately need someone to stop the run. You do that, you eliminate one of the biggest glaring needs on that defense for this year while you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Here's my one problem on that is it feels to me like we have made the case for some defensive linemen in like the past 3 or 4 years who either want to trade, might be available, and the first team we gravitate Buffalo. Towards is Buffalo, and they're like, nah, we're not going to make a move. So I've been disappointed with this team because their window is obviously right now, and they've never really done that before. That would make some sense. By the way, there's not a lot of volume right now in this market, so you're not going to be able to get down a lot. Offshore books are also offering different numbers on this. Globally, you can find the Rams around even money, maybe a little bit better than that. The Chargers, like you said, they're one of the short shots as well. The Raiders at 6-1. I guess they kind of want to win now.
I think so much for the Raiders just about like being respectable.
Rather than a laughing stock for the last 25 years.
Yeah, and I guess they would have the cap space to do it. Or maybe the argument is this is the Max Crosby trade fit. Maybe that's a swap coming. I don't know. I don't think you'd have to do that, maybe. But
well, so the Rams would be, again, they're the short shot right now to win the Super Bowl. What happens to their number? And you're going to hear from Sean McVay coming up in a second on this. He was asked about it this week. What happens to the Rams Super Bowl number if they get him and Donald comes back?
I mean, just give him the Lombardi at the beginning of the year.
Do they go below, like, are we talking Patriots territory, primetime, Brady years, Belichick? Do we go Mahomes recent years when they were super low?
Oh, yeah. No, we're talking some of the best all-star teams we've ever seen in the sport. It's so hard to do it in the NFL.
Well, but this to me, because we've had those, in fact, we've had players come out and call the team that they were on specific years, like the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Remember that Eagles team? I think it was Nnamdi Asamoah who came out.
Yeah, the actor.
And they absolutely flopped. We've had other teams like that
The Ravens had one, I want to say.
It felt to me like the Ravens were one last year.
Yeah, last year I was on them. Adelius Thomas year, I remember that with him there. It's like that every purpose guy.
Yeah. This feels like not a dream team that's fairy dust here. This feels like the real deal we're doing.
I agree, but here's the thing. Expectations matter. How would you view the Rams, like their season? Is it successful if you just get to the NFC title game? Is it just getting to the Super Bowl, or is it just winning a Super Bowl? Because as a Mets fan, I've been burnt by this too many times of all these moves in the offseason, and Sean McVay's a different cat, and I get that. But just because we're like, this is the best team on paper, paper doesn't win championships.
No, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, how many times in basically every year in every sport does the, quote, best team not win the title? It happens almost. But it happens so common, I lose track of it.
But the gap between them, and there is one in the pricing in the market, from 5.5-1 up to 10-1 for the Ravens and Bills, I think it is correct. I'm with you. I believe in the Rams. It's just...
Oh, they're awesome.
Anything less than winning the Super Bowl is a complete failure this year. They are that far all in compared to everyone else.
Like, what's the weakness potentially? Because their weakness was glaring to me last year, and that was special teams. And that I could say that probably cost them the Seahawks game.
Well, injuries are a concern with Devontae and Puka. And Puka's going through... Although CJ Daniels is getting all the hype in camp right now, and he's a fun playmaker from Miami. I guess I would think about offensive line, but they return everyone. The offensive line's never dominant. It's always just good.
It's good.
Running backs deep as always. D-line's crazy. Linebackers are nuts. Secondary was the bugaboo, and they addressed it in the offseason. Yeah. Miles Garrett's on the team.
I know. It's absolutely incredible.
I don't know how they don't do it, other than just human beings being human beings. They get everyone's best shot every week.
So Sean McVay, of course, he's been asked about Aaron Donald 7,000 times in the last 10 days. He was also on with Kay Adams this week, and she brought up the idea of maybe acquiring Vita Vea.
Quickie, Vita Vea requested a trade. Your thoughts?
He's a stud. I think that he is a great player. That's always been a problem to game plan against. But I think we feel good about our group.
He can run the ball, but you've got back cover too.
He could run the ball. He can run the ball. We got a couple backs that we feel good about as
you
well.
Do. Blake Corum,
he requested a trade, huh?
He did. Yes, he did. Coach Ampey, I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Huh. Yeah, he had no idea. It was news to him.
Oh, he requested a trade, huh? Mm. No one's ever telegraphed that they're having conversations. Sean McVay is brilliant with the play calling. You never know what he's going to do out of the different looks. In that conversation, he told us everything we need to know. They definitely want Vita Vea.
He basically said, we've been on the phone all morning, and we absolutely are going to do whatever we can to acquire him.
You know what's interesting? And
by the way, this is a team that goes for it like every year.
Every year.
They don't care about picks.
F them.
God, again, I'm going to beat a dead horse. Had they taken somebody else other than Ty Simpson in the first round that could actually have an impact immediately with the team this year, my God almighty, what are we talking about here?
Oh, if they, anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone. Dylan Thiedemann. I mean, it could have been any.
Sure.
An edge rusher. You know what's funny? Byron Young, I think, is playing on an expiring deal, the linebacker. He's really good.
He's really good.
I wonder if that's a fit here. Maybe Vita Vea is the backup plan if Aaron Donald doesn't return.
Sure. I mean, I think they'd be happy with either one of those guys.
Either one works.
Both is absolutely absurd.
If they get both of them, I'll bet them at plus 250 to win the Super Bowl. I don't care at that point.
The Rams are turning into the Dodgers all of a sudden.
Funny. Los Angeles, not known for being a great sports town, yet they have the two teams that are the favorite on the betting board to win two sports right now.
Mike Palm next, VP here, Circa Las Vegas. He was in Chicago over the weekend, WNBA All-Star Game festivities. We'll get his observations on that event. And I have bet a team now multiple times to win the title in that sport. I'll run it by him coming up next here on VSiN.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that almost feels too good to be true. First, credit where credit's due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're getting involved with a few props and alt markets as well. There's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month just $9.99 or save big with promo code POD26 on the annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right, back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Wednesday. That means it is Wednesdays with the Maestro as Mike Palm. He is the VP of this great property, Circa Las Vegas, along with the Golden Gate and the D here in downtown, joins the program. Mike, it's great to see you again, my friend.
Rich, it's been great to have you here. Is Paul coming back? Is this another 12-week summer for Paul?
No, not quite. Just two vacations in a 3-week span, I believe.
Did you know his last vacation, he actually left the coordinates of Las Vegas?
No.
He went to Arizona, he said.
What?
Maybe it was just a place of bet, but he claims he was on the water in Arizona.
Where was he? The Colorado River in Laughlin?
That's a DiMaggio streak.
Lake Powell? He's on the water in Arizona.
He showed me a picture. He was on the water. He said he went to Arizona. Havasu?
No. Oh, there you go. Maybe.
Was the dog with him? Was Jordan with him?
I'm sure the dog was with him.
If the dog wasn't with him, I don't believe he went to
Arizona. Well, I don't think he has the trust in other human beings on Earth to put that dog up somewhere.
Well, I'm like him, though. I don't want anybody. I want friends watching my dogs. That's it.
No, my friends are idiots. I want professionals.
Okay, so you were recently in Chicago this past weekend. You were doing your show in Chicago, WNBA All-Star Game.
Yeah.
You were at the actual event.
Was there.
Okay. I have made a couple of bets recently on a team in the future market. I'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. But overall, your observations from what you watched.
So I had to do an event in Iowa on Friday in Clinton. So I flew in and did the event and then got a few hours sleep at my mother's house in Dubuque and then drove into Chicago early Saturday morning, did the show on the Score. Annie Costable was my guest, who's the athletics writer on women basketball. It's a nice interview. Then I decided since I'd gotten tickets to the game, I would try to attend the fan activities in Chicago that day. The first one was at 11 a.m., and it was a roundtable discussion with Diana Taurasi, Dawn Staley, and Raven Johnson. Unadvertised, Kayla McBride was also on the panel. I thought that was the highlight of my Saturday in Chicago. I thought it was a really frank and honest discussion that they had. I got there an hour and 40 minutes early, and I was like 70th in line to get into this theater. They packed 500 plus.
Oh, wow.
Into this. It was sponsored by Affleck. Obviously, Dawn Staley is part of, you know, she reps Affleck. But it was a pretty decent discussion. Now, the point was, they had said that the audience would be allowed to submit questions, and there would be a question and answer, and you'd be told if your question was going to be asked. I was told my question was going to be asked. It was for Dawn Staley, but they ran out of time. And they weren't going to get to the Q&A, and there was 10 minutes left, and they skipped it. But I was psyched to be able to ask Dawn Staley a question, which pertained back to the final four 3 years ago and comments she made about Lisa Bluter's comments. But anyhow, I thought it was a frank and open discussion about the direction of the league. And then I went to a fan event where they had different in WNBA players show up like every 30 minutes. It was not far from the United Center before the game. And I got to meet Lexi Hall and a few others. So the game itself, I left at halftime. Like, it was clearly just, you know, a playground game. What was I going to stay for the second half that I wasn't going to see in the first half? I saw Malanga dunk, right? That was. And so I drove back because I had a 4 a.m. flight out of Cedar Rapids to come back to for my son's hockey game Sunday morning.
Did you get, now you're a big fan of the commissioner of the WNBA.
Huge.
Did you get a sense of like similar feeling from most people who were there?
Not one player nor fan had not a good comment to say about Kathy.
How can someone run a sport and no one trusts them to do their job? And the sport has the potential to have major popularity. It is picking up steam over the years. How can she continue to be the person in charge when she doesn't even like the sport she's running?
Nor will she answer really any tough questions. We saw that she backed out on Dan Patrick. I've chronicled the last 3 years of trying to get any response from the league office. I met a lot of Chicago Sky season ticket holders that despise her. It's just amazing. There's no network of support from anywhere that I see. And I think Adam Silver, who ultimately is responsible for her being appointed and has the power to put somebody else in charge. Now, I saw some rumors that Neka Okumike, who's been head of the players union, this will be her last year playing, and that she may be the likely successor to Kathy moving forward.
Okay. From a betting standpoint, a lot of high scoring games last night, ton of games in action. I think we had 4 or 5 teams score more than 100 points. So it was a really good night for the WNBA. Is that going to be a thing here after the All-Star break?
Well, it's been all year. I mean, Mitch, the scoring has been way up. There's really only one team that shows up and plays defense every night, and that's the Valkyries.
Golden State.
That's the only team that gives you concerted 40 minutes of defense night in and night out. Not to say these games, I guess, aren't entertaining. You know, you had the Fever 105-95. They played another similar game like that to Seattle back in Indiana. The Lynx put up 100 points. The Liberty put up 100 points. Wait, more teams scored 100 than didn't score 100 last night.
Indiana had 37 in the first quarter.
Yeah, I saw that. And they had to kind of stretch to get to that first quarter in-game total after that. But, I mean, you know, Caitlin scores 32. And, you know, it's a different league. I mean, Indiana's averaging 95 points a game, yeah. Right? I mean, it's totally different. I went back to 2006. And the average number of points per team in a game is 71. Think about that. And now we're at, I think, at 89.
Wow.
Is the average number of points per team per game.
Is that better product on the court, or is that the expansion and it's more watered down? Like, what do you attribute that mostly to?
I do think part of it is the officiating and this freedom of movement. And they said they want to have more freedom of movement, so they're going to call more fouls. They're shooting about 8 more free throws a game. So that obviously factors into, you know, that. Sure. What does that add? 6 more points a game if you're going to have 8 more free throws a game?
No, there's a decent chance here, especially when you look at the future market, that Minnesota is just a juggernaut and it's going to be their title this year. But I will run this by you, bringing up the Fever here. They're red hot, and the numbers here now with Caitlin Clark and Kelsey Mitchell in their 4-game winning streak. Clark averaging more than 30 points per game, almost 9 assists per game, shooting 56% from the floor and 50% from downtown. Mitchell has averaged 29 points on 56% shooting and 52% from downtown. Cunningham's been coming on. Boston got dinged up. She has to come back and be fully healthy. That's the team I have them now at 18-1 and 13-1 to win the title. Nuts?
No, it's not nuts, but I'm not there with you because I don't think they play enough defense. It's
well, they don't.
Somewhat similar to the NBA. When you get to the playoffs now, you're not going to have every team scoring 100 points. I have to tell you this about Kelsey Mitchell at the All-Star game, and I got there when doors opened at 6 for a 7:30 tip. She was the first player on the court shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting. The number of repetitions she took above everybody else, just shooting and shooting the 18-foot jumper and the three-pointer, I mean, over and over again from different spots, was pretty amazing.
How many teams can win the title, though? Like, how far down the board do we go here?
So, obviously, Mitch mentioned Minnesota. I think you have to look at the defending champs, the Aces. I'm not there with the Liberty yet. I think they're missing something. And we're coming up on the trade deadline, so yep. We don't know what's going to happen. Rumors are Plum's going to go to Valkyries to give him some offense, right? I think if that happens. So, I bet I was kind of following Chris Facile a few weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago, I bet Golden State to make the semifinals. That means they win one series at minus 120. Hopefully they're going to be a 2 or 3 seed, and they'll be a pretty heavy favorite in the first round. Matt, don't have to win one series to make the semifinals.
That's available at a handful of books?
A handful of books.
Okay.
The Boyd down the street here, right?
Yep.
And you can't get a huge amount on him. But FanDuel, it was a FanDuel.
Okay.
It was a FanDuel option. So, and I think at the same time, he bet him at around 16 or 18 to 1 to win it all. I still think the Aces are the team to beat. I'm interested to see how Nafisa Collier's return affects the chemistry in Minnesota. But I do think Cheryl Reeves, the best coach in the league. I'm not sure you can go beyond those three teams as how many I think can win a title. Lynx, Aces, Valkyries.
No Dallas.
I'm not there with Dallas. Again, not enough team defense for 40 minutes when you get into the playoffs. Let's not forget, without Caitlin, the Fever took the Aces in Las Vegas to overtime in game 5 in the semifinals.
That's very true.
Yeah.
What would you say the sentiment among the people you ran into there at WNBA All-Star Weekend? Was it more positive or negative about Caitlin Clark? Because based on everything I see, the league doesn't like her very much either.
No, there's you know, in this symposium, it was very heavily weighted. And you know, I was probably in the 10% minority as a Caucasian in the audience, and there wasn't going to be any love for Caitlin in that. Raven Johnson had to come out and say, hey, I just want to get on the record of saying I do like CC. She's my teammate. And both her and Kelsey Mitchell have helped
me
become.
She had to say that?
She got on the record, and I think she felt there would be backlash. But
that's amazing.
What are we doing?
I don't get it. The whole thing.
How about Caitlin Clark go play in Europe for next year? And let's see how it works out at the ticket office.
Yep. You have a very hot take that you firmly believe in college football. Do you want to do it right now, or you want to do it coming back?
No, I think Notre Dame, I look at the schedule and they get Miami at home. Why not take 2-1 that they're going to go 12-0? But I'm not sure they're one of the best four teams. I think it's very, I think you can find a way you can parlay Notre Dame 12-0 and not to reach the semifinals at a very nice price.
The non-correlated kind of
an anti-correlation parlay.
Well, it's interesting for Notre Dame because it's quarterback dependent and it's been mostly running back dependent. But I'm surprised that you don't believe in your boys.
I believe it when I see it. You know, I went there. I just at the highest levels, I don't know that they can compete.
I would say that the scary part about Notre Dame football, going back Charlie Weiss, maybe before that, whenever there's a lot of hype, they rarely answer the call.
If I was prosecuting this case, I would ask Your Honor to enter into evidence Exhibit A that Tim Murray has abandoned the University of Notre Dame and now he pretends that he's a University of Hawaii graduate.
And you just know a team like, I don't know, Purdue or Boston College might just pull off a crazy upset.
More with the maestro, Mike Palm, VP Circa Las Vegas, coming up next, including You Cannot Be Serious on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. We are live in Vegas downtown from the Circa Resort and Casino. It is Wednesdays with the maestro Mike Palm. Time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
All right, we're going to do a very special life edition of You Cannot Be Serious this week. Not involving sports at all, but as many of you know, I was gone the last week, and if you followed along with my phone appearances with Mitch and Paul the last few Wednesdays, my father-in-law had been hospitalized with a heart condition, spent 17 days in the intensive care unit. He was released 2 weeks ago on Friday, discharged. They had shocked his heart, got it back in rhythm, He had an appointment with his cardiologist last Wednesday, and then unexpectedly on Monday night, he passed away in our home. And it was very traumatic in that the kids went in to say goodnight to him, and he had passed away. He was cold, and so we went through all that, calling the police and the coroner. So I just, not all directly related to that, but I've been gone for a week, and just some of the instances of life. It's a little Andy Rooney. It's a little Jerry Seinfeld in commentary about the different things I've experienced in the last week. My first subject here for You Cannot Be Serious is the Organ Donor Network. You know, I've never had any firsthand experience with this before. And I do in no way want to denigrate the donation of organs and how it saved lives and improved lives, right? But the process of the Organ Donor Network is amazing. He passed away. The coroner didn't get there till like 1:45 Monday night, Tuesday morning. So he was pronounced dead at like 2 a.m. Tuesday morning. So we're at home. You know, we're on the phone with family. His family's in the Philippines. You know, waiting for a call from the coroner's office. When are they going to release the body? We're trying to figure out arrangements. Here comes the call from the Organ Donor Network before we even get a call from the coroner. And so my wife was on the phone with this lady. And like after 20 minutes, I wasn't listening to the conversation. But she handed the phone to me and said, I can't do this. You're going to have to finish this conversation, right? And so again, on the questions that they ask, because they're going to try to ascertain maybe what organs can be donated. Look, he had a bad heart, bad lungs, kidneys were an issue. Like, what was going to happen here? But they want the medical history for the 65 years of this man's life. And then it starts out with any medications he's taken in the last 2 years. Are you kidding me? And I mean, I had a list of 20 and to go through this. And then they start with sexual activity questions. Mitch.
Oh.
Is your father-in-law engaged in sexual activity in the last 2 years? I'm pretty sure yes. All right, now the rest we want is a full history of it. Has your father-in-law ever had sex in exchange for drugs or money? No, is my answer. Has your father-in-law ever had sex with a woman who's engaged, had sex for drugs or money? I said, no, I don't know. Well, you don't know? Of course I don't know. I mean, it was infuriating. Mitch, I was on the phone for an hour and 20 minutes with these questions. At one point, I said, we'd like to decline. And then I had to go up on my laptop and look it up. You cannot decline because it's called first-person consent. If the person of their free will says, I want to be an organ donor, no member of their family can override that.
Oh.
I don't know what would have happened if we would have said, we're just not going to answer any questions. What would have happened? We went on and on and on and on and on. And eventually, they took his corneas or whatever, the eyes, right? But there has to be a better process and a sensitivity at that time of how you go about doing this. So my first one is the Organ Donor Network.
You cannot be serious.
All right. In the midst of all this, I just get off the phone with them and I get a text reminding me that I have an appointment at the DMV at 2 p.m. to get my real ID. I'd postponed it twice. My wife's on me. Why do you take your ID everywhere, your passport everywhere to fly? You don't need to. Get your real ID.
It's a pain if you don't have it.
You know, here in Nevada. So I made the appointment, 2:00. They sent me a text at 1:00. That's great. You can check in at 1:45. I get there at 1:40. It's not far from our house. I'm sitting there waiting for it to get to be 1:45. I check in on the phone. You are 57th in line, and your wait time is 69 minutes. What's the point of the appointment? It's like the Seinfeld. You can take the reservation, but you don't hold the reservation. And then the comedy that goes on for the next 2 hours while I wait. None of these people understand their names or their last word. They're going to the wrong windows. I'm listening to all. There's 48 windows going on. I'm watching it all. The guy's at the wrong window asking for something, and the lady from the DMV saying, we can't do that. You're here for this. No, I'm here for this. I said, he's supposed to be at window 18. I'm policing it. I'm like a third base coach trying to get people to their window and every 2 minutes refreshing where I am now in line. I couldn't take it. Finally, at 4:20, I got through with it. They took my picture. Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles.
You cannot be serious.
I flew 1 a.m. Friday morning from Las Vegas to O'Hare for a connecting flight to Cedar Rapids to do my event in Iowa. I landed at O'Hare at 6:20. Now, I had a layover, 10 o'clock, right? Had breakfast there, went to my gate. Was sitting there 10 minutes to 8. Between 10 minutes to 8 and 10 o'clock, they changed my gate 7 times, Mitch. 7 times. It wasn't L7 to L9. It was L to K. K to H. H to J. I mean, it's a 20-minute walk every time they did. I said, I'm going to blow this flight. I'm better off renting a car and driving 4.5 hours to see it. Is this hard? It's American Eagle. You got 70 people on the plane. How hard could this be? Air travel's because I don't even want to fly anymore. back and forth and back and forth and back. I'd prefer to drive the 26 hours to Chicago. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's American Airlines. I don't know if it's O'Hare, but I'll blame American. American Airlines!
You cannot be serious!
Wow.
Life is too much.
That's an incredible five-day stretch for you, Mike.
Oh, I don't know what's more ridiculous, the DMV or the organ donor network. It is.
I'm first of all very sorry. Obviously,
thank you.
Yeah. To go through that.
Thank you. And I've been in contact with you guys throughout the whole thing. So the thing is, like, when you're 10 days into intensive care, you think the hope is dwindling.
Yeah.
But then they do something. They say, "I can go home. He's going to see his
car." Home.
Now we're excited to get the plan. What's the plan going to be? He came.
Golly.
He was an architect in the Philippines, right? Educated architect. Came here. You can't get a job because of the. He worked for 28 years at Harrah's as a utility porter in the housekeeping department. He retired. I helped him build a house in the Philippines. I just regret he did. He was there 2 years, 6 months there. So he didn't have more time to enjoy that life that he had earned in the Philippines.
Yep. And 65, obviously, yeah, goes without saying, way
young.
Really
too young.
Too young.
But the DMV, can we go back to that real
quick? What's the point of
We have cars that drive themselves. How is that still that... So outdated. All of the hoops you have to jump through to do anything. I can confirm my identity and buy stock right now somewhere, but the DMV have to show up with my mail?
Yeah, you have to show up with a utility bill. I said, do I need the utility? I had my tax bill. He says, whatever, you got on your phone. Just pull up your gas bill on your phone.
Oh, yeah, I keep it right there on my phone. Everything's on my phone.
But, I mean, you're
sure.
Just confirming the information that's on your driver's license to get a real ID.
There's got to be an easier way to confirm all of this. Trust me, no one's trying to be me. I don't want to be me.
I want to go back to the airline story, actually, because I'm exactly like you, Mike. I used to love traveling.
Oh,
I used to look forward to marking on the calendar. Yeah. I can't wait. I love getting to the airport, have a beer, whatever.
Yeah.
For years now, it's the last thing I want to do. I cannot stand... disaster going back to Wisconsin last week and coming back.
How early do you get to the airport? I'm one of those people that doesn't trust anything, so I get there so early, it's obnoxious.
So do I.
I get there 2.5 hours early domestic flights.
Everyone makes fun of me. I'm like, no, I just know it's going to go wrong. Even if it's delayed, I still show up to because I know they're going to say, well, we're back on time. No, now we're leaving early.
In Iowa, in Cedar Rapids, getting on the flight to come home, right, I said shoes, belt. I go through the whole thing, right? No, you're fine with all of it. I go through, beep. Why don't you take your shoes off? It looks like they're boots. I take it off. Beep. How about your belt?
About
why
your
don't
belt
you
now?
Take your belt off? Beep. How about your wedding ring? I said, why not strip naked?
How about my bag gets pulled aside every single time?
Oh, yeah.
Every single, because I've got the CPAP. They think it's like a bomb because it's got cords with it and everything. I'm like, guys, you're the ones who yell at me to take certain things out, and you tell me to take it out, so I leave the tubing and stuff in there, and every single time you look at it through the x-ray like you've never seen a CPAP before.
Ever. You have some best bets tonight in baseball?
I have two baseball plays. I'm very intrigued why they keep pushing Joe Ryan back. He's tired. I don't know. They stay close enough to the White Sox. I don't know if they're going to move him or not.
I saw a report late last night they're going to keep him.
Yeah, they're not trading him.
I do not trust Kansas City's offense to put any pressure on him. But if he's not right, how about under 17.5 outs, plus 132 tonight for Joe Ryan? I think Hancock with Seattle is also another guy. I know the Cubs are targeting Hancock. Maybe his last start with Seattle. I took them plus 158 tonight against the Dodgers here. They're sort of going through the motions. And then in the WNBA, the team we talked about here, Phoenix is awful. If you look at this Phoenix, they're awful. I laid four with the Mercury, with the Valkyries tonight against the Mercury. And I do want to throw in, just for those, I know we have a segment of our fans that follow the CFL. How about Montreal? You can get them right now, plus 225 for the Grey Cup. They've almost clinched the East. They only need one home playoff game to get into the Grey Cup itself. You could monetize them once they're at that point, once they're in the finals. I think it's worth a bet at that price.
How about that for a bonus bet here? Going to go CFL action.
CFL here. For
of course. Course.
Think about it. Where's Scooble get up? I got to do a read. Circus Survivor documentary. It's back better than ever. $18.7 million on the line in the new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes. You got episode 2. It airs tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern here on VSiN. Watch every agonizing moment of opening weekend. The early winners, the losers, the storylines as they come to shape. If you missed episode 1, don't worry. You got plenty of time. It's on YouTube right now. Search for VSiN Live, whether you play in Survivor, you just love the drama, you don't want to miss the series. Check out every new episode Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN.
Thanks, Mike. Condolences to you, especially the wife.
Quickly, I want to mention I spoke to Mike Lombardi today. He's in good spirits.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Gotta say, that may have been the Maestro's best edition ever of You Cannot Be Serious.
Pretty strong.
You missed it. You can always go back, listen to the Follow the Money podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and I'll post that a little bit later on tonight on X as well. Very good.
I'll push back on one thing. Airport complaining, it's always going to sell. It's a great go-to. That's all I'll just point out.
I don't complain about airplanes or like that. It's more like observations to me.
Sure.
In fact, I never even had a problem with the airline, but it was more of getting in and out and also like the rental car property, which was just an absolute fiasco. So that ties into the whole travel experience.
Did they loot? Do you know how many times I've seen people get there with a reservation and being like, we don't have cars, so you don't get one?
Yeah, I have. That's happened to me before. How about my cousin was traveling last month to Orlando. Their flight was delayed. She and her kids. So they did not get in until 3 o'clock, which meant the rental car company was closed until 6 a.m. Completely stuck.
Just waiting.
Had to wait there for 3 hours until it reopened again.
Oh, and I'm sure that employee was very prompt in getting there on time.
And super enthusiastic about getting her out as soon as possible.
Showing up to work and there's people waiting for you to do your job. You know, you really, really come through for them.
Oh, man. Yeah, no doubt. Flying colors. Okay, so I think the list of teams that you have, Dustin, to win the national championship in college football this year is longer than my list.
Usually.
My list is actually only like four or five teams, but I'm open to more, obviously. How can I not be after Indiana won it of all teams last year? And they played Miami, by the way, and Ole Miss was a play away from getting into the national title game. But you don't have to really twist my arm, but you can say, yeah, this is why my list is only, and maybe Mike is right with Notre Dame, by the way. But Notre Dame, based on their schedule, they're going to be a playoff team and they have a ton of talent. And I really like Freeman as a head coach. So they are on my list. I do have Ohio State. I have to have Indiana. I have Georgia and Miami. That's it. As of right now. Like I said, I have an open mind. You can talk me into other teams.
Well, because but a lot of it is just projecting and hoping that things go in a certain direction. Like if you want evidence that a team can win a title, your list is probably there. I live in the world of Disney movies and using your imagination to try and see what can come to fruition. I've got 12.
12?
I've got 12.
Oh, my God.
I think it's more open than you think. I know everyone talks about the top, but Ohio State, obviously. Notre Dame, for sure. I can't stand Steve Sarkisian, but the talent's so good that might overcome him as a head coach.
That's I don't have Texas. I don't have Oregon. I don't have some others, but I can obviously...
Sure.
Be talked into that, and I get it with Texas. Like they might be the most talented team in the entire country, but I have a problem with him as a head coach. I think he's very good.
I understand that. We can whittle my list down as well. I have Indiana and Oregon. I have Georgia, and I don't think Georgia is as good as they've been in years past. But it's Kirby Smart, and they're just like a revolving machine. They just find guys. Miami. I'm gonna say LSU. I'm in the camp of I don't know if this works, but I'm not just going to dismiss that all of that talent that they brought in with the pressure to hit the ground running, that it might not work for LSU, and they might not be better later in the year when it matters as they're making a playoff push. I'm not necessarily jumping to the window to bet the win total over. I'm not willing to bet that right now, but there is a world where LSU wins the title. Now, they probably are the widest variance team in all of college football. They could win six games. They could win the national title. I think Texas Tech and Texas A&M are in the conversation as well. And then I'm going to throw my one long shot out there that I think is absolutely live, and that's BYU. I think BYU can win the championship.
So you don't have Alabama.
I don't have Alabama.
You don't have Ole Miss. You don't have Oklahoma. You don't have USC.
Oh, no, I have Oklahoma, too. Oklahoma, too.
I could actually see Oklahoma as well, and I could be talking to them. I cannot be talking to Texas A&M. No chance with LSU. Good luck to you on that. Texas Tech is intriguing, and I say that because, again, if you're just going to go based on their path overall and their schedule,
Sure.
Like, it is the easiest schedule in the entire country. And we had Brad Powers on, professional bettor, back in April. And this was the first time, I think the first of like 11 times that Sorsby was not going to actually play for the team. But he said, okay, so Sorsby's now not going to play. And I'll drop him down to the backup quarterback. And I can tell you guys right now that per my numbers, they're still a double-digit favorite in every single one of their games.
Will Hammond showed plenty last year. It's just a matter of him being healthy.
That's exactly right. So you figure they win 11, 12 games. They'll be a favorite to win the Big 12. They're going to get a super high seed. And like I said, if Indiana could win it last year, Texas Tech, they're not screwing around either. They spent millions upon millions of dollars the last couple of years to make this an opportunity for them to actually win the whole thing. I can be, I just don't want to bet that number, but I can be talked into that.
No, Texas Tech for sure. Texas Tech, if they win the Big 12 like they're supposed to, I'm a little bit lower on them than some people, but...
Clearly, if you like BYU as much as you do.
Well, yeah, but the question is, who can win the national championship? We didn't talk about like likelihood percentages, but like, do I see a path? Do I see the ability there where things could run in their favor? Absolutely. And for Texas Tech, they're the favorite in the league, but it's not just the Sorsby thing. Losing David Bailey, losing Jacob Rodriguez.
Oh, they lost a lot.
And living in the portal is just it. Joey McGuire is a good coach. Do we know if he's good year after year to not have continuity like that and rely on big pieces coming in from other places? I still think they can win a championship. They are one of my 12, but that is why I also like BYU.
Okay. How about like when you look at some of these teams, how to approach betting teams that have brand new quarterbacks via the portal? They might not be some of the marquee guys at the very top of the list, obviously. But have you done this so far with like a win total, a yes, no to make the playoffs, a division bet, anything like that?
Well, Kentucky, I went over 4.5 wins. Their quarterback, Kenny Minchie, we had plenty of beat reporters on VSiN last summer. They were pretty much all in line saying that he was outplaying CJ Carr, that it was his job to lose a year ago. CJ Carr was the freshman. He winds up winning the starting job for Notre Dame. Minchie's now at Kentucky with Will Stein. So you combine Will Stein with what he's done. Bo Nix turned into a first-round pick. Dylan Gabriel got drafted in the third round. And then Dante Moore was a Heisman finalist. So you combine that with a guy in Minchie who has all the talent in the world to be a stud. I went over 4.5 wins on Kentucky because I think the offense is going to be so improved this year.
You know that there was one person who picked them to win the SEC?
I know who it was.
So do I.
Because he said it with me and Paul when you were out.
I completely respect the daylights out of Bruce Marshall.
It was.
So I didn't know. I didn't even know that he was on with you guys. What did he say?
Yeah. Oh, he said, yeah, I just wanted to see if they're actually going to count my vote. I want to make sure they're actually like checking these things. It was kind of a way to audit them, and they did.
Oh, they did. But he really likes Kentucky this year overall.
I think it was more just to see if they would.
It was.
Yeah, I do.
Try to run a, okay. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, no, that is a team with a new quarterback that I absolutely love this year. Kentucky over 4.5 wins. I think they make a lot of sense.
Let me ask you this. If any team makes the playoff, it doesn't matter which, it could be USC we're talking about. You can go down the board a little bit more. Can we say this year in college football, if you make the playoff, you have a path?
Oh.
Because the last couple of years.
Hasn't been.
You're going to draw a line through at least a couple of teams immediately.
Yeah, we saw the gap in the haves and have nots.
It's great. I love that they were there.
Yeah.
Give them a spot. But they were blasted last year for the most part.
You know what? Let me think about that because Ohio State always has a chance. Notre Dame always has, should theoretically always have a chance. Texas should. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I think if you're one of the teams that actually makes it to the playoff, you actually have a chance.
Because
this year.
I'm thinking here, like if you can find some pretty nice plus prices at this point still on teams just to make the playoff, right? Like their USC would be an example. They are loaded with their talent this year, right?
I'm shocked at how into USC I am because I was not expecting to be.
Okay, and they're like plus 240 to make the playoff. Like, if you really like them to make the playoffs this year, and I think Jonathan Von Tobel here at the network does, well, then that tells me that you probably want to pound them to make the playoffs and then probably sprinkle a little bit to win the entire thing.
Yeah, I agree. But back to the original sentiment, this is why I think it is a little bit more wide open. Because now these programs have learned what it takes. We didn't know. We were in no man's land, and there was a clear gap between the ones that really went all in and programs that thought they were all in. And I think everyone now is realizing what their investment needs to look like financially, on the roster, with the support. And because of that, I think more teams are more all in than they had been the last few years, even though they thought that they were there.
So I'll expand my list from 5 to more than that. I think college football is exactly like the NBA. 20 years ago, you could before the season started in both sports give a list of three teams to win it all, and you would be right. Now, all of a sudden, the NBA is up to like 15 teams, maybe not that many, but college football is no longer like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, or name one other team before. It's like maybe the list is like 8, 10, and to your point, maybe 12.
Well, and here's what people don't want to hear because they just like to complain. There's two elements that made it possible. Expansion of the college football playoff and the ability to pay these players.
Big.
So
big.
While you don't like that it's very much top heavy, the amount of teams that are top heavy, we're talking about 20 teams now that are really invested thinking they can win a title.
I think if, in terms of like this specific conversation, it's way better for the sport.
100%.
Let's follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. NFL is coming up next. We'll look at first-year coaches around the league and tie it into their win totals for the regular season. Maybe this guy is the next Sean McVay. That's next.